Good morning with KUAC Local News. I'm Robin. Ryanair officials and Alaska State Troopers have added to the story about a flight from Bethel to Aniak on Wednesday when a passenger tried to take control of the plane. The other passengers restrained the man, and the pilot was able to land the plane safely. KYUK's Greg Kim has more.
A Ryanair Cessna Caravan with six people on board was traveling from Bethel to Aniak on Wednesday around 3 p.m. One of the passengers was 18-year-old Bethel resident Jaden Lake Kamaroff. Troopers said during the flight, Lake Kamaroff got up from his seat and took control of the plane's steering wheel, causing the plane to nosedive. Lee Ryan, president of Ryanair, said the nosedive lasted only a moment.
Pilot relied on his training, was able to push the passenger backwards, retook control of the aircraft. Passengers helped restrain the unruly passenger, and they landed the plane without incident.
Troopers arrested Lake Kamaroff when the plane arrived in Aniak. He's being charged with terroristic threatening in the second degree, attempted assault in the first and fifth degree, and assault in the third and fourth degree. Ryan said the pilot and passengers did not sustain any injuries.
We're very thankful for the safe outcome and extremely grateful for our pilot and the passengers on board.
He called the incident damaging for air travel in the region.
We rely so heavily on aviation in Western Alaska. There's no roads. It's the only way in and out. And when a scenario happens like this, it's very unfortunate for not only the industry, but everybody in Western Alaska.
Ryan says this is the first time a passenger on a Ryanair flight has attempted to take control of a plane. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
The Munson Creek Fire is now the second largest fire in Alaska this season, behind only the 48,000-acre Dry Creek Fire south of Manly Hot Springs. After three cool days of rain showers and high humidity, Alaska Fire Service spokesperson Tim Mowry says there's still heat in the Munson Creek Fire, 52 miles east of Fairbanks near Chena Hot Springs. A reconnaissance flight Wednesday showed the rain was not enough to put the fire out, but has kept it in check and smoldering through the understory.
The rain helped tremendously. We were able to, go more on the offensive rather than defensive. The cooler, wetter weather has enabled crews to get in there and actually go direct on some of the line, up behind the hot springs and secure it.
The Munson Creek Fire started June 18th with a lightning strike, and now managers estimate the fire is now 37,000 acres, still increasing. Wednesday's flights show there was considerable growth on the south and east portions of the fire along the Middle Fork Chena River. The fire grew by 14,000 acres. However, there was little growth on the north and west flanks closest to Chena Hot Springs and Chena Hot Springs Road. About 200 people are assigned to the fire, including crews protecting cabins at the end of Chena Hot Springs Road from mile 42 to 50. The go-level evacuation order from mile 48 to Chena Hot Springs Resort at mile 56.5 remains in effect and is being reevaluated daily to determine when it can be safely lifted. Vandals hit a Chena River State Recreation Area facility last weekend, as KUAC's Dan Bross reports, as part of a trend of intentional damage at area state parks.
The Chena Rec Area's Compo Trailhead along Chena Hot Springs Road was targeted by vandals over the 4th of July holiday weekend. Northern Region State Park Superintendent Ian Thomas says an informational kiosk was destroyed.
Using a vehicle. Just tore it apart and ran over parts of it and damaged it pretty severely.
Thomas says a window in a park volunteer's vehicle was smashed out at the nearby Rosehip campground in the same time frame.
It's not clear that they're related, although I suspect that they are.
Thomas says the two incidents are representative of a general increase in vandalism.
Not necessarily just in the rec area, but across the region, we've had an uptick in, purposeful, more serious vandalism over the last year.
Thomas says two other incidents also stand out.
We had an improvised bomb fireworks explosive device put inside the restrooms at Olness Pond late summer, fall. And then this spring at the Chena Pump Wayside, somebody tore the whole toilet paper dispenser off the wall and shoved it down into the vault, which made a big mess.
In another incident this spring, Thomas says an electronic fee station at the Rosehip campground was shot up.
So it's just been frustrating to have those kind of setbacks while we're dealing with staffing shortages and budget problems and all that type of thing.
Thomas asks anyone who witnessed or has information about the vandalism to contact state parks or state troopers. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
A note to listeners about this next story, the sound of gunshots about halfway through may be upsetting for some. A Fort Wainwright soldier who fatally shot a Black Lives Matter protester in Texas last year was indicted last week by a grand jury in Austin, Texas. Army Sergeant Daniel Perry was stationed at Fort Hood back then, but on September 1st, he was assigned to Fort Wainwright. Perry says he shot the protester, who was carrying a rifle, out of self-defense. But a local civil rights advocate worries the case could inflame local racial tensions. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
A U.S. Army Alaska spokesperson said Wednesday that Perry is assigned to the 1st Striker Brigade combat team, but the spokesperson couldn't answer other questions about why the 34-year-old infantryman was allowed to be stationed here despite facing a trial. Travis County, Texas Sheriff's Office spokesperson Kristen Dark says Perry was formally charged on July 1st.
He was booked into the Travis County Jail on two charges, murder and deadly conduct.
A local television news outlet says Perry flew from Alaska to Texas last week to surrender to authorities after a warrant was issued for his arrest. Dark said he was released soon after posting a $300,000 bond.
He was booked into the Travis County Jail around 2:20 that afternoon, and he was released from custody at 2:36, I believe.
Perry was off duty that hot summer night, working a side gig as an Uber driver. He reportedly was waiting for a fare when he encountered protesters at a downtown intersection around 10 p.m. According to the indictment, as Perry tried to turn onto a cross street, he, quote, recklessly engaged in conduct that placed a group of protesters walking in the roadway in imminent danger of serious bodily injury, unquote. The indictment says he was texting on his cell phone while making the turn as pedestrians were in the crosswalk. Then he drove into a group of protesters who were in the street. That's the basis of the deadly conduct charge. The indictment says Perry threatened one of the pedestrians and drove toward that person, but he wasn't able to get very far because the street was filled with protesters. One of them was 28-year-old Garrett Foster, who was carrying an AK-47, as is allowed under Texas's open carry laws. Foster reportedly approached the car, and Perry perceived that he was threatening him with the rifle, although eyewitnesses dispute that. Police say Perry drew his pistol, which he was legally allowed to carry, and shot Foster, fatally wounding him. An eyewitness recorded and posted video of the incident. Perry then drove away and later called police, who detained him briefly until he claimed he shot in self-defense. Perry and his lawyers argue he was justified to use deadly force under Texas's Stand Your Ground law. Austin police say they're still investigating the shooting. Both Perry and Foster are white, but BLM supporters say the shooting shows police don't place a high priority on protecting protesters. A Fairbanks civil rights advocate says he's also troubled about the case and its potential to further inflame local residents and activists angered over police brutality toward Alaska Natives and other people of color.
There's the Blue Lives Matter marches that are going on. There's still a lot of activism with the natives and the police department and things of that nature. And then here we have the military situation.
Benny Colbert is a former head of the Fairbanks NAACP chapter, and he spoke about the matter as a concerned citizen. Colbert says he's troubled that Army officials permitted Perry to come to Fort Wainwright despite the fatal shooting and now the indictment.
I think the military, somebody should have took this into consideration prior to bringing this into our small community.
According to the Travis County District Court Clerk's Office, the next court proceeding in the case is scheduled for July 22nd. But a person in the Travis County Attorney's Office, who spoke off the record, says barring a plea deal or dismissal of charges, it may take a while for the case to come to trial because of a backlog of cases left over from the pandemic shutdown. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And for KUAC, I'm Robin.